Welcome to the Go Hard Chick podcast. This is your host, Crystal Holmes. And today I bring you episode 28. Go Hard Chicks, in this episode, we're going to get all into the standard American diet. Now, unless you've been hiding under a rock, you probably have a general understanding that the standard American diet is, quite frankly, pretty bad. And it has contributed to, if not outright caused us to have some pretty severe health outcomes. So today I'm going to discuss two dangerous food items that are heavily a part of the standard American diet: vegetable oils and sugar. Now, I have received some questions about sugar in particular recently, and I just want to get into the science with you so you can understand how, you know, if you can reduce these items in your diet or just outright avoid them if possible, how that can really help you have a healthier and fuller life, because that's what it's all about. So let's just jump into this. I'm going to start with vegetable oils. So I'm going to take you to school on this a little bit, because, you know, we were all taught, at least I know when I was a child, I was taught that vegetable oils like Crisco and Wesson and the like were good and butter was bad. I mean, I remember my mom buying margarine, for example, instead of butter. You know, we were told even by our government officials and medical providers to use more vegetable and seed oils, you know, like soybean oil, corn oil, safflower, and canola. We were told that traditional fats like butter or lard caused high cholesterol and clogged our arteries, which would lead to heart disease. So, you know, we trusted our experts who told us to avoid saturated fat, to eat more omega-6 type fats, okay? So that's what we did. And we started eating more refined oils. Well, the science has kind of changed on that, folks. And these oils that we were, you know, encouraged to consume many, many years ago, it's now being revealed that these are causing us some severe health outcomes. So what are refined oils? And which one should you try to eliminate, you know, if not reduce from your diet? You should consider avoiding the following plant oils due to their high level of omega-6. Okay, so we're talking soybean oil, corn oil, cottonseed oil, sunflower oil, peanut oil, sesame oil, rice bran oil. Now, there may be more oils that fall under this umbrella, if you will. Okay, but for today's discussion, I'm just going to give you the most common ones, right? So, looking at that list, things like Crisco, Wesson, your margarine, for example, you should avoid. Now, keep in mind that these oils are hidden in processed foods as well. So they're not just in the oil that you get to fry up your catfish. They are also hidden in foods like chips, salad dressing, other condiments, cookies, breads. I mean, they're everywhere. So anytime you decide you're going to purchase a processed food, okay, something that's not whole and fresh, you need to read your labels, because a lot of these bad oils are even in processed foods, chips, for example, that are labeled organic. So please, Go Hard Chicks, read your labels. So let's just clarify that healthy fats are an essential part of healthy living, but not all fats are created equal. Olive oil, for example, that's an unrefined oil, uses olives that have been pressed to extract the oil. There are health benefits to using pure, unrefined olive oil. With that being said, I really want you to understand this process. So I want to dive a little deeper in the refining process of oils. Oils that have been refined, They have been altered by using chemicals that are harmful to us. In short, this process is called purification. But the meaning of purify or purification has many definitions. It may mean that the oil was treated with acid or purified with an alkali or bleached. It can also be neutralized, filtered, or deodorized, all of which require harmful chemicals. So in the process of making and refining these vegetable oils, it leads to polyunsaturated fatty acids, which are not good, and they don't hold up well to high heats. So the process of being extracted from the seeds, these oils oxidize and turn into trans fats. And trans fats are bad. As a result, these refined oils tend to be high in omega-6, which is a fatty acid. Now, I want to keep this as simple as possible, like I said, but I want you to understand that omega-6 fatty acids are an essential fatty acid, meaning we do need some of them in our diet because our bodies can't produce omega-6. Throughout evolution, humans tended to get omega-3 fatty acids and omega-6 fatty acids in a certain ratio. And this ratio differed historically amongst populations, but researchers believed it was 1-to-1, right? So you got 1 omega-3, 1 omega-6. However, because of the standard American diet and just the diets in general and how we eat today, this diet has shifted dramatically the ratios of omega-6 to omega-3. So now some are estimating that we are consuming omega-6 to omega-3 at a ratio as high as 20-to-1. Scientists have said that too much omega-6 relative to omega-3 in this way may contribute to chronic inflammation. Now, what is inflammation? You're probably asking, what is chronic inflammation? Well, that is the underlying factor on some of the most common diseases that we suffer from, such as heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and autoimmune diseases like arthritis. Studies have also associated a high intake of omega-6 fatty acids to increased risk of obesity, heart disease, and inflammatory bowel disease. These oils cause weight gain and diminished brain function as well. Okay, so which oils are safe? And I'm going to give you just a list of three. There may be more. These are the top most common oils that you can find in your grocery store pretty easily. Extra virgin olive oil. Now, one thing about olive oil when you buy it, you know, it's usually good for 3 to 12 months after it's been bottled. All right. So keep that in mind. After 2 years, it ain't no good no more, y'all. It is best to buy your oil from, you know, maybe a farmer's market or somewhere. But if you can't get that, you want to make sure, you know, that you purchase them in smaller quantities wherever you get them, because you don't want the olive oil sitting in your pantry. And if you're like me, I mean, I use so much olive oil, it ain't going to sit in my pantry anytime, okay? Never store them near heat. So don't store them near your stove. Keep the bottle sealed and avoid light if possible. So put it in your pantry if you can. And you want to look for olive oils when you're shopping that are in darker colored glass bottles. You do not want olive oil that is being sold in clear bottles or plastic. So look for those dark, a lot of times you'll see olive oil in dark green glass bottles. And read the labels. You got to get really comfortable with reading your labels because that's how you know what you're getting. Because some items that claim to be olive oil will be a mix of olive oil and one of these harmful vegetable oils that we're talking about. So I would strongly suggest that you read your labels. Another alternative that I use to olive oil, because, you know, we know olive oil can have a heavy taste. So if I want something a little lighter, I will use avocado oil. All right. Another thing, and I know some people are going to holla, organic butter. Go Hard Chicks, the butter is better than the margarine. It took me a hard time to get over that because my mama bought that margarine and that was ingrained. But butter, I mean, they've been given a bad rap, but butter is actually a good, safe, whole food choice if you consume dairy, right? Lastly, coconut oil. I cook with coconut oil, olive oil, and like I mentioned before, the avocado oil as well. But, you know, it depends on what I'm preparing and which one I will use. But coconut oil is one of the better oils for you. So let's jump into the next topic of discussion of things you should avoid that are heavily a part of the standard American diet. And the next group would be sugar. Yes, eating too much sugar can have many negative health effects, okay? An excess of sweetened foods and beverages can lead to weight gain, blood sugar problems, and an increased risk of heart disease, as well as cancer. It can affect your brain to the point where you'll be more susceptible to depression. It's been shown to possibly accelerate the aging process. You need to avoid the sugar. If not, you know, reduce it as much as possible from your diet. You got to keep it to a minimum. Try to focus on a diet with healthy, whole foods. So let's talk about sugar and the science of addiction. Sugar is highly addictive. In a study published by the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, they showed that sugar and higher glycemic foods are addictive in the same way as cocaine and heroin. Yes. Foods with more sugar, those that raise the blood sugar quickly, trigger your brain's pleasure center. And when activated, make you feel good. And it drives you to seek out more of that feeling. So you ever had, like, you know, you ate one cookie and you didn't eat another one, then another one and another one? Yeah, it's that sugar. It's that sugar. So we need to really take a close look at how we can eliminate the sugar from our diet. Because the foods that spike blood sugar, as this study showed, are biologically addictive. And this addiction triggers a vicious cycle of hunger and cravings that sets the stage for chronic disease. So constantly eating sugary food causes a spike in your blood sugar, which in turn activates your brain's pleasure center. Then this triggers more cravings and drives you to seek out more and more of this sugary substance so you can get that high. So it's not that you're really that hungry. It's just that sugar is kicking in this high. So you keep eating more and more of the cake, more and more of the cookies, whatever it is that you're eating. But I want you to understand, if you believe you are sugar addicted, and many of us are to varying degrees, it's not your fault. So you got to really look at it and see how can you attack this and be realistic. Sometimes willpower simply isn't enough to overcome the cravings for the chips, the cookie, the soda. You know, sometimes you're going to have to dig a little deeper. You may have to speak to your medical professional. I mean, there are professionals out there, ladies, that deal with sugar addiction or food addictions in the same way as they might deal with someone who's addicted to alcohol or drugs. So it's that deep. Now, you know, junk food and the sugar you put in your coffee is not the only place sugar lurks, okay? If you are eating anything processed, you gotta read your labels. Because excess sugar can be found in quote-unquote healthy foods. I mean, I've seen sugar in pasta sauce. Of course, folks eat instant oatmeal, sugar, yogurt, sugar, granola bars, sugar, salad dressing, sugar. And even in that salad dressing, there's probably some canola oil thrown in there as well. Your breakfast cereals, your energy drinks, your packaged fruits, your fruit juices, and even your dried fruits loaded with sugar. So it's like I said, it's not just the cookies and the cakes, you know, and the sugar you put in your morning coffee. It can be quote unquote healthy foods. So you got to read labels, read the labels. So how do you deal with these cravings? All right. You got to just try to focus and get your mind right and make choices and opt for real, whole, unprocessed food first and foremost. Stop buying as much of the junk food and the processed food as you can. And once you start reading labels, it's going to be hard because a lot of your things that might have been your favorite meals or favorite treats or whatever, you're going to see that it's loaded with a lot of these things that I've talked about today. And then you got to take an inventory of your emotional triggers. Because, I mean, I'm going to be honest, I am an emotional eater. I can avoid sugar most of the time, but if I have a stressful day, I'm like a zombie. I'll go straight up into Kroger, straight up into the grocery store, and get myself some key lime pie. And I'll do a zombie ride home, and I'll sit in my kitchen like a zombie and eat that pie. And then after I'm done, I'm like, oh my God, why did I just do that? What made me crave that? Well, a lot of times, you know, when you're having some emotional problems or you're stressed out or maybe things didn't go right for you that day, you tend to crave stuff like cookies and other junk more. So you got to really question yourself. When you start to have that craving, you need to ask yourself, okay, what am I feeling? And then ask yourself, what do you need? Because what you need probably doesn't involve eating a bunch of cookies or the key lime pie in my case, okay? So really try to get into that place where you can ask yourself, what is going on here and why am I feeling the need to indulge? Now, I know this is hard. I'm releasing this episode. We are in the holiday season. Everybody's going to be baking. I mean, my mom already started. I went over her place for Thanksgiving. She had my favorite cookies. I know I'm supposed to be eating them cookies. And I tell her, and she knows I try to live a healthy lifestyle, but she bakes it every year. And I'm not going to tell her no. So what do? We got to eat in moderation. We got to limit stuff. Quite frankly, ladies, based off of the science, I would rather you avoid the bad vegetable oils, make it a priority, and then limit the sugar. I'm not saying completely cut it out, even though that would be great. But if you look at these two categories as which is more dangerous, I think the science is pointing to the vegetable oils. Now, I'm not giving you a green pass to just go and eat all the cookies this holiday season, okay? But we got to do things in moderation. So how do we do this now in the holiday season and in the future? Because you really want to start now. You don't want to consume all during Thanksgiving, Christmas, and just say, oh, come January 1, I'll jump on it, right? You got to just start now. Number one, start eating real food. You know, you need to eat real protein, real fat. Real fat is good for you. Real vegetables, real fruits. You know, the processed stuff is overwhelmingly not good. Okay. You got to ditch the sugar. Like I said, it's going to be extremely difficult to go cold turkey on sugar. it's probably best, but it may be difficult for some. So for example, if you put 3 teaspoons of sugar in your coffee in the morning, maybe only do one. And then the next week, maybe do a half. You know, it's going to be a process, but you got to start to find ways to reduce the sugar. When you go into the grocery store, don't buy it. Don't buy the sugary drinks. Don't bring them home. Don't bring home the soda. Don't bring home the juices, the cookies, whatever it is that it, whatever's your thing, your sugary thing, just don't buy it. Because if it's not in the house, you're not going to eat it. Number 3, you want to reduce stress. Because like I mentioned before, if you are emotional, stress eating and junk food tend to go together. You know, when you're feeling stressed, you're more likely to reach for that bag of chocolate chip cookies. Learn how to identify your triggers, work on the stress so that you can put the brakes on yourself when those cravings come, and you can understand that you really don't want the chocolate cake. You're just really dealing with whatever stressful event of the moment. Another thing that's going to help is you need to exercise, okay? Yes, you need to exercise. So if you, for example, if you're like me, and when you get stressed out, you're like, give me that key lime pie. You need to stop before you go get that key lime pie and take a walk, okay? Move, do something to shift your brain, to shift your mindset, to get those cravings off of you. Exercise can be a great distraction when you're stressed out, and it can actually help you to cope with the stress, right? One thing I also want you to consider is you may need help from your medical provider to determine whether food sensitivities could be causing your cravings. Okay, because there are some people that crave the same foods. They crave the same foods that they have a hidden allergy to, like gluten, dairy, or sugar. Like, I know I have a gluten allergy. Like, I don't need gluten, but Lord, do I crave the foods that contain gluten. And my last piece of advice, you got to get your sleep. Because I don't know if you've noticed it, but sometimes you're hungrier and you want something more sugary after a terrible night's sleep. Have you seen that? Well, studies show that lack of sleep increases these kind of cravings. So go hard, chicks. Really strive to try to get 8 hours of sleep, solid sleep every night. So there you have it, Go Hard Chicks. That was probably a lot to ingest, but I want you to know we can do this together. We are on a journey to improve our lives so we can live happier and healthier lives. And food is a big part of that. I hope you got something from this. If you have questions, comments, concerns, hit me up. Thank you, Go Hard Chicks, for listening. Take care.